Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Detroit from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search and type in We Talk Productions. Listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, the origin of Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is celebrated every fourth or so Thursday of the month of November. We're told that the pilgrims sat down to a feast after the so-called Indians who had saved the colonists from starvation by sharing and teaching them how to plant food for survival, it was declared that colonists and their descendants would celebrate this day thanking the Creator for receiving the gifts of nourishment. Is that the truth and nothing but the truth? Let's take a look at it. Suzanne Bates says, the real story of Thanksgiving. Most of us associate the holiday with happy pilgrims and Indians sitting down to a big feast, and that did happen once. The story began in 1614 when a band of English explorers sailed home to England with a ship full of Pawtuxet Indians bound for slavery. The Pawtuxets were the Native American band of the Wampanoag, a tribal confederation, a member of the Confederacy of American Indian Peoples of southeastern Massachusetts, who spoke the extinct Algonquin language, Massachusetts, which is interesting. So anyway, back to this story. They left behind smallpox, which virtually wiped out those who had escaped. By the time the pilgrims arrived in Massachusetts Bay, they found only one living Pawtuxet Indian, a man named, we all know this guy, Squanto, who had survived slavery in England and knew their language. He taught them to grow corn and to fish and negotiated a peace treaty between the pilgrims and the Wampanoag nation. At the end of the first year, the pilgrims had a great feast honoring Squanto and the Wampanoag. As word spread in England about the paradise to be found in the New World, religious zealots called Puritans began arriving by the boatload. Finding no fences around the land, they considered it to be in the public domain. That means it's free. Just, you know, nobody owned it, and therefore it's everybody. You can just choose it, just take it. Joined by other British settlers, they seized land, captured strong young natives for slaves, and killing the rest. But the Pequot Nation had not agreed to the peace treaty Squanto had negotiated, and they fought back. Those nasty Pequot Indians, how dare them fight back? So the Pequot Wars, one of the bloodiest Indian wars ever fought, they say. In 1637, near present-day Groton, Connecticut, over 700 men, women, and children of the Pequot tribe had gathered for their annual Green Corn Festival, which is our Thanksgiving celebration. In the pre-dawn hours, the sleeping Indians were surrounded by English and Dutch mercenaries who ordered them to come outside. Those who came out were shot or clubbed to death, while the terrified women and children who huddled inside the longhouse were burnt alive. The next day, the governor of the Massachusetts Bay Colony declared a day of Thanksgiving because 700 unarmed men and women and children had been murdered. Cheered by their victory, the brave colonists and their Indian allies attacked village after village. Women and children over 14 were sold into slavery, while the rest were murdered. Boats loaded with as many as 500 slaves regularly left the ports of New England. Bounties were paid for Indian scalps to encourage as many deaths as possible. This is before Indians started scalping people, y'all. Following an especially successful raid against the Pequot is what is now Stamford, Connecticut. The churches announced a second day of Thanksgiving to celebrate victory over the heathen savages. During the feasting, the hacked-off heads of natives were kicked through the streets like soccer balls. Okay? Even the friendly Wampanoag did not escape the madness. Their chief was beheaded and his head impaled on a pole in Plymouth, Massachusetts, where it remained on display for 24 years. That's a long time to keep a head somewhere. Man. The killings became more and more frenzied, with days of Thanksgiving feasts being held after each successful massacre. George Washington finally suggested that only one day of Thanksgiving per year be set aside instead of celebrating each and every massacre. That's nice of George Washington. Thanksgiving Day, later Abraham Lincoln decreed Thanksgiving Day to be a legal national holiday during the Civil War. On the same day, he ordered troops to march against the starving Sioux Nation in Minnesota. Good old Abe. This story doesn't have quite the same fuzzy feelings associated with it as the one where the Indians and the Pilgrims are all sitting down together at the big feast. But we need to learn our true history so it won't even be repeated. Next Thanksgiving, when you gather with your loved ones to thank God for all your blessings, think about those people who only wanted to live their lives and raise their family. Also took time out to say thank you to the Creator for all their blessings. So there's a Thanksgiving story. And I heard that story, but not like that. And not in detail or like that before either. And it's kind of puts a different spin on Thanksgiving. So, you know, from News Weekly, Julia Glum, in 2017, speaks about the same thing. You probably know the legend yourself. The Pilgrims came to North America from England in hopes of finding religious freedom and riches, but they struggled all winter. By November 1621, they finally grown some food, so they sat down for a three-day feast with members of the nearby Wampanoag tribe. Everyone was thankful, and the Indian tradition and American tradition was born. The end. Well, there were five facts about Thanksgiving past. Though the so-called first Thanksgiving was in 1621, it wasn't until 1789 that George Washington set aside a national day of thanks. Apparently, the Thanksgiving was after every massacre, which, that's something else. Abraham Lincoln issued a proclamation calling for a federal Thanksgiving holiday in 1861, writing that the country's gifts from God should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged. Franklin D. Roosevelt announced in 1939 that he was moving Thanksgiving in an effort to pump up holiday sales. That's commercialization of the holiday. But his decision proved unpopular with football coaches and retailers alike, according to Time magazine. He ultimately set it for the fourth Thursday of every November. The first Thanksgiving menu didn't have turkey and greens and casserole on it. Instead, participants like ate corn, venison, that's a deer, and wild birds. Turkey became the centerpiece in the 1800s, along with foods like oysters, soup, potatoes, mince pies, cranberry sauce, and pumpkin pies. Hey, Molly, pumpkin pies. She bought pumpkin. A coworker bought pumpkin pies. Suggested bringing pumpkin pies to the Thanksgiving office celebration. But there you have it, pumpkin pies. Okay. So then he went to this thing with recent kind of like thing though. The turkey part and legend dates back to Abraham Lincoln. That's a tradition. They part in a turkey, or is it one turkey or a group of turkeys? I don't know. So then you got the Macy's Day Thanksgiving Parade. So some people think that the Pilgrims were fleeing religious persecution, but some people say they came to America to see basically what they could get from coming to America. So The Wampanoag Indians made this treaty with these guys, but we have one, and I guess one nation within that nation did not make that treaty. So, you know, how do you feel about celebrating a holiday that has such a bloody, murderous, genocide-ish beginning? Because apparently Thanksgiving is thanks. We massacred these folks and when we took their land, we imprisoned these folks after massacring some of them and we took them. So listen, how y'all feel about Thanksgiving? I know some people might say that, well, Thanksgiving has evolved into an affair of giving thanks for the food that we have. And apparently these guys had a feast after the massacre. So that was the Thanksgiving feast, was after, this ethnic cleansing of the so-called American Indians. And I say so-called because they weren't American. They weren't American. America didn't exist then. And they weren't Indians then. It was just names given to them by the Europeans, conquerors. Anyway, they did sit down and have free-range turkey and organic vegetables, but it was not the Indians. It was this one guy. This guy has a twist on this whole Thanksgiving thing. I don't know why. Basically says the real story turns out is neither as simple nor as consoling as this pared-down history would suggest. Not that historians agree on what the real Thanksgiving story is, and it isn't just historians who are squabbling over the significance of America's feast day. It's ordinary Americans like Rush Limbaugh. So it said that they did sit down and have free-range, food, vegetables, and turkeys, Rush allowed, but it was not the Indian. It was capitalism and scripture which saved the day, and it wasn't just a bitter winter and shortage of food that imperiled pilgrim survival. It was, you guessed it, socialism and those commune-dwelling hippie pilgrims themselves. This is really crazy. And so the popular radio host blames the pilgrims' communal work ethic and equal sharing of the fruits of the labors for the colony's rocky first year. That's very interesting. The most creative and industrious people had no incentive to work any harder than anyone else unless they could utilize the power of personal motivation. So basically saying that you should control people and not give them what they need and put that carrot in front of them so that they have incentive to work. So that's a capitalist theory. That's not even worth mentioning, but since he did have it was something that somebody had, but capitalism is, that's another show. Caller, welcome to Provocative Thought, 5800. Hello?
Hey, Carlton.
Hello, how you doing, brother?
This is Art, man. How you feeling, man?
What's up, Art?
Everything cool?
I'm all right, bro. How you doing?
I'm doing well, man. Sidebar, man. You hear about a brother Demps, man?
Yeah, I heard about it. I talked to him.
All right, man. I want to take a moment out and say, bless him, man. But back to the show, man. Yeah, Thanksgiving is the topic. But I think it's time, man, that we kind of broke away and learned the truth about all the pagan holidays. And we go back and it being the age of Aquarius, man, we need to really take a look at the things that we believe in and things that we teach our children going forward. And Thanksgiving could be a good day to start. It's nothing wrong with the gathering of families, but we can turn that gathering into an information study. We can turn that gathering into a look of history through our perspective and to break away from the status quo's view of this history that's being taught. That's what we use it for. That's my house. I teach. Okay, so we together. Let's have an understanding of you know, the status quo's version versus the real version. I think most families now should really be truth seekers more than anything else. It's time to be a truth seeker, because the only type of truth that fears investigation is the truth of a lie. And, you know, that's what I would suggest, that we take time out. That's what Thanksgiving means to me now. It's just a gathering of my family, and it's a time for us to share family history and time for us to talk about the things that we've learned through the year and express that with each other over dinner.
Right. I agree.
So, you know, and I think it's, you know, not just, you know, Thanksgiving, but we need to have this chain of thought through all the holidays, because, you know, a lot of us need to really understand what that, as, from the words of Malcolm X, or those blue-eyed devils, really what their nature is. And some of us have grown to love those blue-eyed devils because we are not knowledgeable about the true history that's been sugar-coated. Once we learn the true history, we really step back and take a look at those blue-eyed devils that some of us claim to love and want to be like and want to befriend, and think that it's in prejudice to speak the way I'm speaking. When it's not in prejudice, it's in history. And right. We need to stop being so foolish to think things are done in prejudice when they're just spoken about in history.
Right.
It's, right. You know, we all judge in our background. We all judged in background 2017. If you go for a job, if you go for anything, people won't look up your background, and they judge you by your background. So why not we judge, you know, people by their background? So if those Caucasian devils have such a negative, murderous, raping, crying background, why would we give them a pass when you can't get a pass if you shoplift? You can't get a pass if you were 17 and committed a crime and you're 40. You don't get a pass. So, no, I'm not giving a pass. And Thanksgiving is okay to celebrate it, but let's do what the Indians would have done. Let's sit and tell the stories of the devilish white man that's now controlling things. That's what they would have done if they would have survived.
Funny you should say that, because we're going to talk about that.
Okay, good, brother. Thank you for letting me share, you know, my views, man. I appreciate it.
All right, thanks for calling. All right.
Right.
From Newsweek, how do Native Americans celebrate Thanksgiving? That was Brother Art right there. How do Native Americans celebrate Thanksgiving? Well, for most Americans, Thanksgiving Day is for feasting, football, and giving thanks. For Native Americans, it's a reminder of the dead ancestors, racial slurs still being worn on football jerseys, and families around the nation feasting on food from colonized agricultural land. Native Americans say the day is not a holiday, but rather a celebration built on a, as the brother just said, lie. One, they would rather spend indulging in some self-care instead of turkey and yams. Some even refer to the day as Day of Mourning or Un-Thanksgiving Day. It's about reflecting, remembering, and celebrating that we are still here and our culture still survives, Michael Horst says, a Native American actor known for his performance in Twin Peaks. Horst spends Thanksgiving with his fellow Native Americans at the sunrise ceremony on Alcatraz Island in California. Before dawn, Horst and his family take a ferry to the island, to San Francisco Bay, where traditional dances perform and crowds gather to watch the sunrise and remember the 1969 occupation of the island. From November 1969 to June 1971, 89 Native American activists and leaders occupied the island and its former penitentiary, demanding that it be turned into an Indian cultural center and school. It was a wonderful way for Native people to anti-celebrate the day, Horst said. Historical estimates vary on the number of Native Americans who were wiped out after the arrival of the early Europeans in the 1500s. It's estimated that the population of indigenous people was decimated by 90% in the Americas from 100 million to 10 million upon colonization. As of 2011, the United States Census Bureau counted 5.1 million Native Americans living in the United States. That's from 100 million. That's the almost extinct. 100 million down to 5.1 million. That's not a lot of people. Native Americans still experience large social economic disparities, including lower life expectancy, inadequate education, poverty, and discrimination. The Center for Disease Control and Prevention found that Native populations die from police brutality at a higher rate than any other racial or ethnic group, according to CNN. Now, that's saying a lot right there. That means for many Native American activists, Thanksgiving Day is a time of reflection, not family tradition. It is a time of self-care to rewind and build my sense of and develop a SFA, a group of Native American activists who work to uplift environmental. Last fall, American activists, including Sasha Houston Brown, spent Thanksgiving on an encampment near the Standing Rock Sioux Reservation in North Dakota to protest the Dakota Access Oil Pipeline. Brown said this Thursday she would be at home with her family eating traditional Native foods and reflecting on her Dakota heritage. So apparently, so-called Native Americans do not see Thanksgiving Day as thankful for. If anything, it seems to be a day of reflection, strengthening, and mourning. And, the story from which the holiday is alleged to have been conceived, the story now, not the real story, kind of gives you the impression that, you don't have to be a historian to see that some people had to be exterminated. Because if there were 100 million Indians here and you just showed up, should be more Indians in North America than whites, blacks, Latinos, Asians, all the different groups of people that come here. So, but that you have to look for one of them, and you might not never see one. So that kind of tells you that, these people in the history book tells you they were here when they got here, and now you don't see them. And they came on these coastal countries, New England, New York, all down the coast, and you don't see Indians anywhere. You know what I'm saying? You've seen the Puerto Ricans, you've seen blacks, you've seen Irish, you've seen Polish, you've seen all these people, German, but how many of you see an Indian? So that right there tells you that there's been some genocide taking place. They didn't just get up and move, from their homeland. So this is from Roy Cook. It says, basically, again, he alludes to the most teachers, most children are taught children. So what happens when you're taught something as a child, when you grow up, you're adult, you teach that to your children. So most teachers were taught the Native Americans helped the pilgrims and were invited to the first Thanksgiving feast. Young children's conceptions of Native American often develop out of media portrayals and classroom role-playing of the events of the first Thanksgiving. The conception of Native Americans gained from such early exposure is both inaccurate and potentially damaging to others. Therefore, most children do not know the following facts, which explain why many American Indians today call Thanksgiving a day of mourning. How about that? The day that generally a lot of us call Day of Thanksgiving, thanks to Creator for, having food, is a day of mourning for the ancestors of the people of that era of that it was born out of. Traditionally, hospitality and generosity have and continue to be constant tribal virtues to be practiced at all times. One of the series of feasts reaching back into the group memory has been seized upon by the current modern society. The Wampanoag feast called, I can't even pronounce that word, but it's Wampanoag feast, or the Grand Schemes Council feast. It was because of the feast in 1621 that the Wampanoag had amassed the food to help the pilgrims, thereby creating a new tradition, European tradition known as today, Thanksgiving Day. So even the Thanksgiving Day apparently has come from the Wampanoag tribe. This feast is marked by traditional food and games, telling stories and legends, sacred ceremonies, and councils on the affairs of the nation. Massachusetts came with 90 Wampanoag men and brought 5 deer, fish, and all the food and Wampanoag cooks. Okay, now you remember, we had one group of Wampanoag that did not sign this treaty. Wonder why they didn't sign that treaty. What did they smell? Did they smell a rat? And they didn't sign this treaty with the newcomers. Before the pilgrims arrived, Plymouth had been the site of the Putiaks village, which was wiped out by a plague introduced by English explorers looking to grab a piece of the New World land. 5 years before the pilgrims landed, now that might be why they didn't sign a treaty. 5 years before the pilgrims landed, the native peoples had met Europeans before the pilgrims arrived. One such European was Captain Thomas Hunt, who started trading with the native people in 1614. He captured 27 of them, selling them as slaves in Spain. Now, I'm starting to see a pattern here. These guys come, they meet the people, they greet the people, they enslave the people, they murder the people, they rape the people. This is a pattern. Now, I've seen the same thing happen out with the transatlantic slave trade. So what's going on here? These expeditions carry smallpox, typhus, measles, and other European diseases to this continent. Native people had no immunity, and some groups were totally wiped out while others were severely decimated. An estimated 72,000 to 92,000 people who lived in the southern New England before the contact with Europeans. 100 years later, their numbers were reduced 80%. One guy said 90. It was an English captain, Thomas Hunt expedition, that brought the plague, which destroyed the Putiaks people. So that might be why they wouldn't sign a contract with them, because they were viewed as destroyers. So the Wampanoag is a collective name of the indigenous people of the southern Massachusetts and the eastern Rhode Island, like we said. So this is up the northern coast, east coast. For those who are listening, may not be familiar with that. Above New York, we're talking about a little farther up Boston and up that way, you know. So the pilgrims, who did not even call themselves pilgrims, did not come here seeking religious freedom. They already had that in Holland, he says. They came here as a part of a commercial venture. I'm here to see what resources I can exploit to create money, increase my quality of my income. One of the very first things they did when they arrived on Cape Cod before they even made it to Plymouth was to rob the Indian graves at Cornhill and steal as much of the Indians' winter provisions as they were able to carry. This suppressed 1970 speech of the Wamsutta Frank B. James of the Wampanoag to the native people who had observed these actions. It was a serious discretion and insult to their dead. And they violated the tribal burial grounds and just robbed them, took food and things out of the tribal place. When the pilgrims had settled in, where they were working in the fields, they saw a group of Native people approaching. Running away to get their guns, the Pilgrims left their tools behind and the Native people took them. Not long after, in February 1621, Samoset, a leader of the one of the Indian tribes, walked to the village saying, "Welcome," in English. Samoset was from Maine, where he met English fishing boats and, according to some accounts, was taken prisoner to England, finally managing to return to Plymouth area 6 months before the Pilgrims arrived. How did he do that? Samoset told the Pilgrims all about the native nations in the area and about the Wampanoag people and their leader. Massasoit. He also told us of the experience of the Patuic and the Nuset people with Europeans. Samoset spoke about a friend of his called Squanto, who also spoke English. Samoset left promising Pilgrims he would arrange for the return of their tools. So he returned with 60 Native people and went to present them with gifts and to make a speech saying that King James, wished to make an alliance with the Indians. This was not true. Massasoit signed a treaty which was heavily slanted in favor of the Pilgrims. The treaty said that no Native person would harm a European settler, or should they do so, they would be surrendered to them for punishment. So the Indians visiting the settlements were to go unarmed, and the non-Indians agreed to help one another in case of attack. So this was a treaty thing. That treaty thing seemed like that thing was bad from the beginning. So they agreed to notify all the neighborhood nations about the treaty. That's a poor treaty. The key figure in the treaty talks and the later encounters was Squanto. He was an Indian who had been kidnapped and taken to England in 1605. He managed to return to New England, only to be captured by Captain Hunt and sold into slavery in Spain. He escaped and returned to this continent on board a ship. He met Samoset. Then Squanto found all his people died on the plague, so he stayed with the Wampanoag, some of whom had survived the disease. They were city people and mainly had taught them when and how to plant and fertilize corn and other crops. He taught them where the best fish were and how to catch them in traps and many other survival skills. So these Europeans learned how to live, right? Because they would have died, but they didn't get these skills from these so-called Native Americans. Governor Bradford called him a special instrument of God. The Native of nations along the eastern seaboard practiced tribal spirituality, hospitality, and generosity. So these guys were friendly, you know. So these guys wasn't coming in scalping, murdering people and stuff like that. That's very interesting because I know growing up, the Indians weren't, and you know, in the movies they were viewed as crazy, you know, like kill you, scalp you, burn your house down, you know, steal your food, like kind of people. You know, but I guess after people been killing you, scalping you, and stealing your food, you kind of get the hang of it that maybe you need to do some of that to them so, you know, stop them from doing it to you. But it didn't. We know the story about the American Indians. So anyway, the basis, this is a story about how these Indians helped basically the European settlers, but still they didn't honor the treaty, but the treaty that they wanted them to honor was slanted against the Indians. So, you know, I don't even know how you can sign a treaty that you don't understand. But I guess we do that now in things called contracts in contemporary times. So The Indians had done so much to help the Pilgrims. Had the son, had a son named we'll skip that part. Anyway, Prince Philip, as he came to know, and other tribal people began to take notice of self-serving ethics of the Pilgrims. After this this Indian died, Massasoit died in 1662. Metacom was crowned King Philip of the Pocanoweket by the Europeans. So how did that happen? We got an Indian being crowned King Philip of an Indian tribe by Europeans. Right there, that's the sign things is going wrong. So as the time went on and more Europeans arrived and took more land, Metacomet, or Prince Philip, as he became known, and other tribal people began to take notice of self-serving ethics of the Pilgrim. So I don't know, it's like guys taking on European names. King Philip led his Indian Confederacy into war, meant to save his tribe from extinction. Metacom adopted a policy of increasing but subtle resistance toward the English. Rumors began to fly amongst the English that Philip agreed to help the English enemies, the French, in 1677. That's not the French and England, Indian Wars. There's a lot of that going on. Your enemy, my friend. My friend, your enemy, kind of like thing. When a band of armed Native men were discovered by colonial rangers in 1661. So basically, these guys started entering the war effort with the French, against the French and the English. And that wasn't a good idea either. A band of Native men were discovered by colonial rangers in 1671, which led to the demand that the guns be surrendered. So they had guns, I guess. After further angry confrontations, the Indians were forced to sign a new treaty, which unacceptably demanded he fully subject his people to the English government. So that's get down and lay down. The old decayed dream of the peaceful causes between the two equal and sovereign people had ended with the rejection of the Treaty of 1621. Although nothing happened for four more years, war broke out in June 1675. Winter of 1675 to 76, about 1 year, proved a harsh one for the people who resorted to raiding English farming communities for food. How does that happen? How does that happen that you helped these people survive and you had to resort to raiding their farms for food to survive? So that's a sign that the land was taken away from them. The narrative kind of said that, but so eventually the use of Native soldiers proved to be the turning point for the English. Their Native allies showed them effective methods of locating enemies, traveling through the country, and fighting in guerrilla fashion. So they actually showed people how to beat them. Small parties of Native and English rangers supporting the larger English army wore down Metacom's allies' resistance and also caused many bands to turn to the English side. Whoa, that's interesting. One of the most famous of the mixed Native and English ranger companies was led by Captain Benjamin Church of the Plymouth Colony. So basically what happened is some of the Indians decided with the Europeans, taught the Europeans how to hunt, and taught them guerrilla warfare of fighting other Indians or fighting the enemies of the English, which were the French. So, that's interesting. So, this guy, Benjamin Church, he was successful in convincing the Sauconet Indians and others to leave the ranks of the Phillips supporters and ally themselves to him. How he do that? This is crazy. Aided by these Indian colleagues, Church began to hunt Philip. This is an Indian who had turned against him. Damn. So why does Philip have a European name? That's my question. Hey, that's like a bad sign right there. Anyway, sounds like there's a lot of infighting going on. Once the Europeans came, there's a lot of infighting going on with the centerpiece being the European conquest at all times. They're not basically trying to get their lands back from the Europeans, but they're fighting with the Europeans trying to appease them for whatever reason. Maybe they were afraid of them and figured maybe they'd get down and lay down and maybe be safer or whatever. I don't know. Bravery, change in tactics. Philip returned to the Mount Hope where he would meet his fate. So in July 1776, Philip was captured. The man's brother would lead church to his sanctum, and on the 12th of August, church and his forces attacked Philip's encampment. Philip was shot and killed by an Indian named Alderman. Yeah, something is wrong here. This must be the short story of this, because these guys got names of European names. So apparently they allowed themselves to be conquered and dominated by Europeans. And the corpse was drawn, quartered, and beheaded. I mean, they pull his arms, legs off, and cut his head off. Usually they post the head somewhere up when they do that. Oh, yeah, Philip's head was placed on a pole at Plymouth, where it served as a grisly reminder of the war. So here we have a familiar story again. We have a group of people, sadly, assisting in the extermination of his own people with the people who are, you know, hell-bent on exterminating his people and taking their lands. You know, that seems to be a ongoing story here. So Thanksgiving is about, actually, it's built on these stories of these horror stories. But we have individuals who have been driven to extermination, dominated, totally dominated in their own homeland by people whom they survived, taught them how to hunt, how to plant agriculture, how to survive, how to fight, guerrilla warfare, stuff like that. I know you may have heard, I don't know, maybe not, Daniel Boone. You know, so he was in the woods like the Indians. He used to wear that little Indian get up like kind of thing. And then he had the little fur hat on. But the rest of them looks like kind of like an Indian, kind of like stuff he wore. So this is very interesting because I could see why the Indians would need to reflect on their history when it comes to Thanksgiving. Well, few would suggest that Thanksgiving should become the occasion for a yearly guilt trip, we would do well to remember the price the first Americans paid for European expansion territory. As we sit around the bountiful table with our family and friends, only by openly acknowledging the sins of our collective past is it possible to proceed toward a future that all Americans can feel thankful for. So, as Brother Art said, you know, it's a time for reflection. Use these holidays as a time for reflection. Find out what is the origin of the day that you call yourself celebrating. And you're going to have your kids and your family involved in that. They should at least know what they're being involved in. It shouldn't be just because you said so. It should be a rational reason for why they're doing what they're doing, because I'm sure we are thankful for the food that we have every day. Thanksgiving is it every day, and if you want to look at it in terms of a meal, every time you sit down and eat something, we should be thankful for the food that we have to eat. You know, Thanksgiving for massacring someone, that is quite another subject. Because that's nothing to be thankful for. We don't need to celebrate the systemic massacre and murder, rape, and of any group of people. So I'm gonna challenge parents, children, because children can seek information. Don't take my word for it. Do your own research. Do some research on what Thanksgiving is, where it came from, and what it means for you today. So, because today's meaning may not, you may not have the connection to it, history. But, you know, I think we also need to take a look at it and just say to ourselves, okay, well, you know, what is Thanksgiving? Now, let's see, where did this come from, you know? And I'm going to try to hit a couple of holidays up on the show just to talk about the origin of the holidays and how they came into existence and how maybe they evolved and what they have evolved into. But we basically know what most things have evolved into in contemporary times, you know, Christmas and things like that, you know. But for Thanksgiving, it seems to be a matter of fact that it's a very sad day for the indigenous people of this country. And, you know, we need to really think about, you know, what we're celebrating and if we should celebrate it. And if so, we need to remember this. We should not, this should not be buried under a lie or a fictitious story about some happy Indians or so-called Indians or Native Americans. This should be remembered because Thanksgiving is like the Holocaust for the Jews. You know, it's equivalent to that. And it's the beginning of the Holocaust. There, we're only talking about the East Coast. We ain't even talking about the expansion to the Midwest and the West. We're just talking about the first 13 colonies. We got 15 states. Think about that. That was just, you know, this just occurred when they first landed. It was death, destruction, and to these people when they first encountered Europeans. And as the brother said, you know, he referred to Europeans as blue-eyed devils. I think just the facts are that the Europeans came and they were not a blessing to the so-called Native American peoples, the indigenous people of this country. Once Europeans arrived here, European expansion, conquest, domination led to the extermination of the peoples of the lands that they encountered. So in order to take somebody's land, you know, and they're not willing to give it up, you know, you will have to, may have to exterminate them. So that's what happened. And I'm not saying that's a good thing either. You know, it's kind of sad, you know, considering that their accounts are that these people were friendly. Even with Christopher Columbus, they were so friendly, they didn't know what a sword was. And he said that, you know, hey, with 50 men, we can conquer them. You know, so here we have a friendly group of people. I think Christopher Columbus landed somewhere in Puerto Rico. These people landed Plymouth Rock up there somewhere, north, Massachusetts area. And they found some friendly people that they proceeded to exterminate. And I'm not saying all white people are people who approve of people being exterminated or not, but this is these are civilizations. These are civilizations which are headed by Caucasians, and the body of the people are Caucasians. And they came and just exterminated people. And that's American history, though, if you really want to get into it. And it's sad, you know. And I think we need to recognize what happened to the Native Americans during the so-called day that we call Thanksgiving. And need to add that to, you know, some Thanksgiving about the Native American, some sympathy for what has happened to them and what is apparently still happening to the Native American. So to if there are any Native Americans listening to the show, you know, I feel for you and, you know, I see your history, of genocide in this country and, Thanksgiving is not, I will always remember that it's not a day of, it's a day of mourning for you. And a day of reflection and assessment. And these guys are going through a lot of things in this country. I hope that things get better. I hope that the people of this country step up to the plate, you know, to treat all peoples with dignity and respect, not just of Native Americans, but all Americans. And I don't see anything wrong with that. You know, it's time to, you know, change. It's time for this country to be the great country that they say it is, because these people don't need to suffer anymore. And as I said, remember them on Thanksgiving Day. Remember that many died, many were slain in order for this day to have taken place. So it took place in the name of, after massacring Native Americans. And I don't know. I don't know if that's a good holiday. It sounds like a good holiday in contemporary times, but historically, it sounds like a bad idea, you know. So maybe one day, Thanksgiving Day could mean something else besides being connected to the massacre of the indigenous people of this country. I hope so. So anybody have anything to say? Because we have only about 3 minutes. If you're listening, if you want to say anything about Thanksgiving, I didn't mean to bust your bubble. And it doesn't mean don't eat, can't eat, and anything like that. Everybody has to eat. We all eat. There's nothing wrong with gathering and having a day of Thanksgiving, which you could have any day of the year. Because, you know, like I said, anytime you want to gather, sit down and eat, or even if you're by yourself, you know, I'm sure you're going to thank, you know, if you believe, that you're going to thank the Creator for the food that you have. You know, I'm sure that you're thankful for a lot of things that you have, your family, and, you know, food, shelter, things like that. So I just want to say, you know, not to end on a sad note, but think about the things that you do. Think about where things come from and how they got to be where they are today. Thanksgiving, no need not to be thankful for the food you guys ate on, what was that, the 23rd? You know, we're all thankful. And I want to thank everybody for calling in, listening. And I hope I've been able to enlighten some people regarding Thanksgiving celebration. I want to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host the show. Mr. Kenny Jones. I want to thank all callers.
You will not be able to stay home, brother.
Stay tuned next week.
You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised.
And continue to be thankful.
The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in 4 parts without commercial interruption. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on the court from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There won't be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry Arm, woman liberationist, and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.